Exactly.
Yeah.
This guitar is so nice. Oh my gosh.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bones of Old New York Carmine Street Guitarist Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Cindy Hewlidge, and where's the other guy at?
I'm right here.
Hey, Rick. How you doing? We're here with Steve Gunn today.
Hi.
I don't even know how long have you been coming into the shop now?
I would probably say an estimated amount of time, I would say at least 15 years.
Wow, okay, yeah.
I started coming here.
I thought it was before me. I've been here 10 now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I started coming here with friends, and then I started bringing my guitars for just, you know, setups and stuff. And I knew I wanted to get a guitar from you, but I was just sort of waiting, and then I think I asked you like maybe 3 times about them, and then you're like, "Hey man, just give me like $200 and I'll get it started for you." And I was like, "Okay." So I, you know, ran to the ATM, came back, gave you the cash, put the deposit. Maybe gave you. You brought me back here for the first time, and we talked about the guitar you were going to make, and and I, you know, you were at the time doing the Bowery Pine, and that's exactly what I was interested in, and I was super excited to get it started. I didn't know it would be that easy. You know, I was sort of, I thought maybe I'd have to like throw down a lot more money, but you were so cool about it. You were like, no, just, I'll get it started for you. And then, you know, every few months I'd come in and like chip away at it.
Oh, cool.
You know? So
cool. And I think it took, you know, 2 years or something, but a year and a half.
What were the specs on it? What'd you get?
It had Lindley Fralin pickups.
Yeah.
Which are great. It had this really great piece of wood that you picked out specifically for me, which I thought was really nice. It was from a fire, so it has like a kind of charred quality on the front.
Yeah. That's either the Serbian Orthodox or Doris's.
Probably Doris's.
Where was Doris's?
Doris was on East
Second.
First. She
East
was
Second
on First
Street.
And First.
Okay.
I thought it was Second.
No, it's First. Oh. 318 First
Are you
Avenue.
Sure?
Yeah. And yeah, she was the one who started Two Boots Pizza.
Okay, yeah.
And she had a nice little brownstone house there and had a studio in there. They called it the Red Studio. And she gave me a whole lot of wood out of there. And I built them for the Red Studio, a couple of basses and three or four guitars.
Was all the wood kind of charred like that?
Not all of it, but yeah, there was a fire in the house, I guess, back when they had a coal-fired heating system.
Okay.
And yeah, because you could see it was right under where the coal would come down the chute, and the boiler was right there. So they must have charred the beams and burned a bunch of beams and probably got it out in time, I guess.
Okay.
But that's her crazy daughter, she plays all the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She does?
Yeah.
I don't remember that either.
I can't even think of her first name. She's all over the place. She travels all over the world playing.
She come in here?
And she plays the Bowery Pine too. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. I got a couple of pictures of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Odetta.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Odetta. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, right.
Odetta.
Yeah. So, you know, I was so excited to get it, and you know, the neck was bigger than I had ever felt on an electric, and I really liked that quality of it.
Yeah.
Because I was playing a lot of acoustics, and it just kind of fit my hand in this really cool way.
Mm.
And yeah, after I got it, I just took it on the road and, like, you know, played it a ton.
Yeah, I remember getting pictures from you from all over the place.
Yeah,
you were all over the world. I think
I took it all over the world.
Yeah, you were everywhere.
Yeah, played on Letterman with it.
Oh, that's
really
great!
Fun.
Wow.
Cool. So I still play it all the time.
Yeah,
that was one of the things I think with the movie. Because you played acoustic in the movie, and I think Ron wanted it, like...
Yeah.
He wanted the Kelly in there, but it was like an acoustic guitar, and so we were going, oh, man.
I thought about that, and I was like, should go back in time, but... scenes of ancient schemes, past and present and future scenes. Morning stumbles into dress. Walk out with the effortless. Disconnected in slower time. Weighing out guilt and pride.
I think Kirk was the only one who actually brought his guitar. Everybody else just played something that was here.
Yeah.
But he actually brought his to, you know, show me how it looked
good. Oh, his Kelly.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
on
that's
that,
what I should have done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was setting up. I would just set up setups for most of the people. Like, I would just, it was really fun because these people come in and I'd be like, you're going to play this guitar through this amp.
Yeah. I love the Sadie's bits.
Oh, too. Yeah, those guys
they're
the best.
They're so great.
Yeah, I love that band so much.
Yeah. I didn't realize that they worked with Kurt until recently. That was their last album that they came out with, right?
Yeah.
It's a good song.
They were great. They were goofing around the whole time.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
They were, I just remember they kept doing this thing where it was like, and they like kept rehearsing it. It was like a shticky thing where,
Tuning thing.
The bend. and he would do like, he would bend, what was he doing?
He was dropping the tuning down with the tuning machine and his brother would come up and twist the strap button. So you couldn't see him doing that because you were watching a brother do
that. Oh, that's hilarious.
It was a great trick.
Yeah, it just went, wow. It was like vodka. Yeah.
That's so pretty funny.
Those guys were like, remember that movie Slapshot? They were like the Hanson brothers of like guitar playing. They were just like so awesome.
Slapshot?
I don't think I ever
seen that. It's a great hockey movie.
Oh. I think we had a conversation about this in the last year, actually, Rick.
It's from the 70s.
Yeah. No, I've seen a lot of old stuff, but I don't know if I've seen that one.
No, but you told that great story about losing your guitar in Russia, was it?
Yeah.
And then you brought, it was like a Guild, what was it?
It was a Guild, yeah.
An old one?
It was a 70s.
70s Guild?
Yeah, like Dreadnought.
They're still over in Hoboken.
Mm-hmm. What's the story?
Yeah. So I was on tour in Europe. I did a long tour in Europe just playing a solo acoustic stuff, songs. And I got invited to go to Moscow and St. Petersburg. This promoter got in touch with me. Mm. And I just, of course, just decided to do it. My tour ended in Copenhagen and I was there and I quickly ran to... do a wire transfer because I didn't want to like bring all my euros to Russia. And that was sort of like a little bit scary because I just went to the closest place I could find and then just like wired all this cash to my bank account. But it just felt really hurried and I was like unsure of the sort of security of the whole thing. But I didn't want to bring a wad of cash into Moscow. Anyway, so I got the flight and then and I flew to Moscow, and the promoter picked me up at the airport at the train station, and we took the train into the city. And I thought I was fine, not being kind of overwhelmed with being in such a foreign country. But when we got to the train station, I had to like put all my, my guitar and all my bags through like another security check and another belt just at the train station. I was like, whoa! And it just like dumped the case on the floor, and I was like hurried, and the train station was super crowded, and I stepped out into this sort of courtyard, and I was like, whoa, I'm like very far from home right now.
Where was it in Russia? Was it in Moscow?
It was in Moscow.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And my show was the next night, so I got some rest and hung out, and then got picked up and went to the club, and it was... Yeah, it was strange. It almost looked it was like this gothic sort of club and the show was downstairs. It almost looked like a scene from like The Great Gatsby or something. Everyone's really like really dressed up and they were like, I remember there were all these candles and like open flames and birds and cages and it was like the most surreal place I'd ever seen. and not even, and then I had to play a concert there.
Sounds like somewhere I would want to go.
it was like a dream. It was really strange. It was really fun.
Did it have like a Russian mafia kind of vibe to it?
No, it was more like, I don't know. It's really hard to explain. It was a party, and there were, you know, there were DJs and stuff, but it was like this very formal kind of event. And the place was like a cross between a clothing store and a music venue and a restaurant as well. They served like really good food. It was very confusing.
Yeah. Have you been back to Russia?
I haven't. I'd like to go back, but
yeah. A lot of people play in Moscow. They have a pretty good music scene.
It was kind of amazing. And I ended up spending some time in Moscow too after that. And made some friends and they took me around and I had a really good time there. And I also went to St. Petersburg.
Oh, yeah. Did you go to the art museum there?
I did, yeah. Oh, it's so cool. The Hermitage. Yeah, Hermitage. Blew my mind,
It's amazing.
The train ride blew my mind, too. I took an overnight train from Moscow to St. Petersburg.
Wow.
It was really, really kind of insane. But anyway, that night that I played, kind of hanging out, and it was just a party, and people were DJing. I was like, when am I playing? I'm just playing like solo acoustic. Like, it's getting kind of late, you know? And they're like, okay, now you play. And it was like a little bit later than I expected. But I was like, how is this going to turn over into a quiet acoustic show? And then everyone just sort of like switched gears very quickly and like sat down silent. I played this show. And actually my two friends from the States came as well. So we were all kind of hanging out. And it got later and later and later, and people were drinking quite a bit. And it just, and I suddenly had this moment where I realized, like, oh my gosh, like, I don't really remember where my place is. It's really late. People are starting to stumble around. Uh-oh. I should probably get my stuff and get out of here, you know?
Yeah.
You know how, like, if you stay up really late, there's like this sort of turning of the tides where it's like, I think it's time to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt that. And I tapped a promoter on the shoulder and was like, okay, like, I think I need to go. Can you help me get back to my place? He's like, sure, sure. And like, we go out there and I'm like kind of rushing and I haul this car and I just like put my hand up New York City style and like this cab pulls up and okay, cool. And then all these people kind of hop in the car. They were going different places and I couldn't remember where my place was, but I had the address. And I had my guitar and my little bag, you know, with like my cords and stuff in the trunk. And I'm like, and it was chaotic. Everybody's like yelling and blah, blah, blah. There's like all these people piling in the car. And I'm like, and he pulls over. He's like, this is your stop. And they're speaking in Russian. And I say like, I don't think this is where I'm staying. And I got like kind of freaked out. I was like, I don't think this is it. And I'm like, I slightly panic, and then the promoter was like, are you sure? Like, this is blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and it just turns out that I was just around the corner.
No.
But so I was like, let me step out of the car and just see, because I get my bearings and I like look around. So I stepped out of the car, and then everyone steps out the car, and the driver just takes off.
I knew that. You knew you were going
to say. I was like, no, no, wait. I was like, I tried to tell any, I just said, like, I'll be back in a second. I just want to step out.
Yeah.
But like, everyone's like, oh, let's pile out.
Oh,
I was like,
man.
No, no, no. And then, boom, the guy like, takes off, and I was like, oh, man.
Notorious cab drivers.
In there. You know?
You're known for doing that.
And it turns out that, like, the printer's like, oh, no, like, that was an illegal cab, and like, ah, shit, I'm so sorry. Like,
oh my
God. And I was like, oh, man. And like, here I am, like, so then as the car's driving away, I'm just like, okay, I just accepted it. Because it's not like the guitar was a family heirloom. It wasn't like a Martin from the 30s, which some of my friends had. Like, my great uncle gave this to me.
Yeah.
It was like a guitar that I bought. I mean, I fell in love with Guild Acoustics because, one, you know, they're, at the time that I got it, they were cheap. You know, if you look on community boards or Craigslist and stuff, you can find these well-made guitars from Jersey.
Yeah.
So I was using them and buying them. And so I was like, you know what? That guitar is replaceable. It's going to be okay. I'm not going to freak out. I'm going to try to enjoy myself, whatever. And so the promoter is like, no, 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 no. Like, tomorrow morning, we have to go to the police station and file a report I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this. Like, I'm not trying to go to, like, the police station in Moscow. I just want to walk around. Yeah. The guitar is gone. He's gone. He's like, I know all the markets. I know I'm going to call the car company and blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right. So he was really adamant on helping me, you know.
Try to find it.
And I was like, you know what, man? Like, for me, like, my philosophy is, like, I'm just got to move on, press on, you know. Yeah. I did the tour. I did like a month on the road. Yeah. It's my one of my last gigs. Yeah. I had one more gig in St. Petersburg. Someone lent me a guitar. But anyway, so we go to this police station. It was another very surreal experience for me because it was like stepping into a time warp. The officer, I suppose, who was working the desk had a machine gun like strapped to his chest. And I had to like walk up to him with the promoter and fill out this form. And the promoter translated my story of losing the guitar. And so he writes this story down. And then the officer with the machine gun reads it and just starts laughing. And then he says like, okay, can you take this report and go into this office? And I go into this office, and there's a man sitting in a chair who looks extremely tired, again with also a gun strapped to himself, and I had to sit down at his desk, and he reads this report and like types it into this computer, and I was just like, I have to get out of here.
Yeah.
They were bringing people in from the street who had been arrested and stuff. Whoa, it was like completely crazy. Yeah. Yeah, like I need to get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
This is like day three. You
know? Yeah.
Anyway, so like we filed the report, and then the rest of the trip was really lovely. My friend took me around Moscow, and it like totally blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And then I took this overnight train to St. Petersburg, which was also an incredible experience. St. Petersburg is beautiful, the Hermitage Collection. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was just an art museum like no other in the world. Yeah. And the show that I played was great, and I had a good time. And I flew back home from there, you know, from St. Petersburg, and didn't think anything of it. Remained friends with a promoter in Moscow. We were sort of nerding out on gear and music. Mm-hmm. He's a big collector. And nothing ever came of it. And one day I'm sitting at home, 2 years later, I get a message from him, and he says, hey man, is this your guitar? And he sent me this link. It was like a Russian Craigslist link. And it was the case on the floor of like, it almost looked like a children's bedroom. There were like toys and stuff on the floor. And it was the case with all the stickers. There's tons of stickers on it, you know. And I was like, yeah. And the strap, everything was like, yep, that's the guitar, no doubt. And he's like, I made the mistake of not having the serial number, and I'll never do that again. But I did have a lot of evidence. I had all these photos of me with the case on the floor, same stickers, you know, that kind of thing. He's like, okay, send me that stuff. So apparently because he filed the report, he was able to kind of like deal with this guitar and get it back.
He got it back.
Wow.
And so basically crazy. He said, you know, he's like, I went there once and it was sort of troublesome. And for him to say it was troublesome, I was like, whoa, like something, this sounds serious. So he said, then I had to go and like go back again with, you know, with the report and show him. And like, and it turns out it was the cab driver who was selling it for, you know, 800 bucks equivalent to Russian money. And then, so he says, so yeah, I got the guitar, man. I have it in my house. So, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. Literally 2 years later. And he said, okay, I'll get back to you in a couple of days. Okay. He gets back to me in a couple of days. He says, okay, I just put a message out on Facebook, and I found a couple who are flying to New York from Moscow next Wednesday, and they're going to bring the guitar with them. So here's their flight information, and meet them at the airport. Bye. It's like, okay. So I had this flight info, and I took the subway out to JFK. You know, I went to Arrivals, International Arrivals. I found the flight, and I waited at the gate, and this completely pleasant couple walked out and had the guitar in my hand, and I gave them a little wave, and they like handed me the case.
So cool. Man.
And I ended up taking the.
Right, hang on. You wanna?
Oh, it's kind of. Oh my gosh, that was the worst timing for a phone. Oh,
we were just getting to the payoff.
I can start it back like if you want.
You can just, it's fine. Take your time, ease up, look around.
So you got the guitar now?
Oh, so the guy... So I meet the couple. They're this really pleasant couple. They'd never been to New York before. Never been to the States. First time. And they're like, yeah, we're visiting... They're just visiting New York. Really sweet couple. And like, we're staying in the East Village. We rent... I think this is like pre-Airbnb, but they're like, we're renting an apartment in the East Village. We've never been here before. So I was like, okay, well, I can help you. Like, you know, and they're like, okay, we were going to take a car. I said, no, we can take the train. Like, I'll show you around. So like, here I am with this couple and my newly sort of like found guitar after a few years of not having it, which completely blew my mind. So I had the guitar, and then I took the train with them to the East Village and walked them around, and we had coffee, and I showed them, took them to their apartment, and you know, they're really friendly. But, and then I just took the case back, and I was thanking my friend profusely. He's like, no, man, no problem. He's like, I told you I was going to get it back. I told you.
That's amazing. It's incredible. Oh,
man, he must have felt so bad, though. He, brought you all the way from the United States.
I think he did, but I was trying to tell him, yo, man, it's not your fault.
Man, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about me. You know.
I mean, because when gear's stolen, usually it's it's gone.
I was it happens. That's incredible. And I was, kind of that's waiting for it to happen to me at some point, you know.
Right.
And luckily, like I said, it wasn't Rick's guitar that I own or something that I really cherish. It was something that I tend to have roadworthy guitars where it's I'm not going to bring my favorites through airports all over the place, you know.
Oh, no.
So I sent the guy a box of records just as a thank you, stuff that he probably couldn't find somewhere else. And we still keep in touch, you know.
What a story.
Awesome. That's so awesome. Cool.
So that's one I'll never get rid of.
Yeah.
It came back to me in this way.
Yeah. Wanted to be near New Jersey.
It's lucky.
Yeah, Richie Havens used to get all his guitars. I went over there one time to the factory with him.
Wow.
And they would let him pick out one out of six or seven guitars.
Amazing. You know?
He always had the double pick guards.
Yeah, I always noticed that, those ones. What model was that?
J50s, I think.
J50, okay.
Yeah.
They probably needed it because of the way.
Yeah, he just
what an interesting
the hell
player.
Out of it. Oh, I know, right?
Incredible.
Thumb over the top.
Yeah,
you know, open tunings, thumb over the top.
So cool.
I never seen anybody still haven't to this day
me
do
neither.
That. You
yeah,
know? Yeah.
That's it always was an open tuning, right?
Yeah, always open tuning because he just used his thumb over the top.
Yeah,
he was just
so
an
powerful.
Amazing strummer.
Yeah,
and a rhythm guitarist that it just worked. You know, he didn't need to be making a lot of chords.
Yeah.
I mean, just watch him at the Woodstock movie.
I watched that fairly recently because I was thinking about him a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets enough credit. I mean, I know he gets a ton of credit, but just the fact that he kind of just,
improvised that whole song, Freedom. He made it up on the spot.
Yeah, he's really incredible.
Yeah, Freedom.
Yeah,
yeah, that's such a great scene. In
and his voice,
movie.
Too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's so powerful.
Freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. Sometimes I feel like a mother.
Good guy, too. He's really, really nice. He's coming all the time.
Did he live? He lived in the West Village?
Yeah,
somewhere?
He lived here for a while, and then he moved. I think he lived somewhere in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife. And
cool.
Yeah, but yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize he was coming in here.
Yeah, oh yeah, for years. Yeah, we got a couple of cool pictures of him out there. He's
oh, cool.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So many.
He's a pretty big guy, huh?
Cool. Yeah, he was 6-something.
Yeah.
6 foot.
He looks it. Like he's towering over those guitars.
Yeah. Me and Dennis Persick, that was his roadie for years. We went with him one time over to Jersey to pick out a guitar.
So cool.
Yeah.
Did you ever make anything for him?
No. No, he was he just played those Gills. That's it. He never played anything else. Just he had several of them. He got them for free, basically. They would just give them to him because he was such a great endorser.
Right.
And he would just pick one out. And he used to burn holes right in the top with his fingers. You know,
right.
He strummed so hard he would just tear the face off. Of it.
Wow.
Kind of like, you know, a trigger guitar.
I saw him at a church in Cherry Hill when I was a teenager.
Oh, really?
Like, it was really random. Like, my parents took me. I think I was, into punk rock at the time. And and seeing this dude, absolutely blew my mind. out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, so aggressive and just, full on, just It was like loud too.
Oh yeah,
a man and a guitar singing. Yep. It was just like,
yeah, I remember putting in the Frap. It was the only pickup for an acoustic at the time. They didn't make any acoustic pickups yet, mm-hmm. except for like the sound hole one that was the old DeArmond.
Yeah.
It went way back to the late 50s.
Is that the one like Django used?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the company called Frap came out with an actual transducer. It was like the first transducer.
Frap?
Yeah, wow. Frap it was called.
What year was that around?
It had to be, I think it was probably... I think they came out with that pickup in the late 70s.
Okay.
Yeah. But I actually, it was still unavailable except for that one here when I had this shop in the 90s. It was still the only really pickup system you could get. And so I used to put one of those in his guitar. And then he, of course, you know, modernized it later on. But.
Yeah.
Who's that?
UPS.
Delivery.
Got it.
Hi, what's your name? Cindy. Cindy,
thanks. What'd you get? It's not mine. I think Rick got cosmetic. What is this from L'Oreal?
What?
Would she get makeup?
That's hair and shampoo, man.
Rick got
from Kiehl's.
What is this?
It's Kiehl's.
Oh. The good stuff.
Yeah, the good stuff.
1800s. They've been around forever, too.
Yeah, no, they're great.
Yeah. You only got like old timey stuff?
Yeah. Nostalgic hair shampoo.
Old wood, old shampoo. Do you like still shave with a straight razor?
Oh, I do, yeah.
You do, for real?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, they still sell the blades. They're hard to get. It's hard to find the blades. But yeah, I used the Schick injector for many years, and then those blades were getting really hard to get, and then they just discontinued them.
Yeah.
And so I went back to the straight razor.
I'm making Cindy's
making Chelsea Hotel handled.
Whoa, nice.
Shaving brushes, right? Yeah, they're awesome. And
they're really ox hair. Like a dude, but yeah. I like these. They're cool.
Those are I want one.
Those are good tools, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like dusting.
I'll give you one. You can have one, Mike.
Okay.
Whoa. Whoa. That's
not like I shave a lot, but.
Okay, you're
yeah,
right.
What are you going to do? Shave your head.
I know.
You can dust your cameras off with it.
Oh, that's true. After that's shooting in here, it's like every piece of gear is just covered in dust.
The fire on the legs. In the dust-filled room, she wished that the cigarette could last forever.
Awesome.
Oh,
yeah. Jeez. It goes fast.
Steve, you got to talk about your new record.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Well.
I want to know what your favorite like tour or like where your favorite place has been to travel to though.
Russia.
I'm always like, yeah, like where's your favorite place been so far?
I had this really great night in Moscow. gosh, I mean, I fell in love with New Zealand.
Oh, I went there three times. Go there and see the glowworms.
It's so far away and just so beautiful, and like the nature. I loved Australia too, but New Zealand had this whole another sort of like element of mystery to it because it's really kind of in the middle of nowhere, and played a bunch of concerts there. Traveled the country because it's pretty small, and driving there is challenging. So basically, you kind of take these like low altitude flights everywhere.
In
New Zealand Airlines, they're just like, it's very chill. You don't have to pay for baggage. And it's like, I mean, obviously flying every day isn't the greatest thing to do in the world, but to travel around there and spend a few days in each kind of region, especially the two islands as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything, like the nature kind of shifts if you like in different parts. The beaches are like, you know, black sand.
I love Iceland.
Yeah, I've never been. That's a place I really want to go to.
You would love Iceland. Yeah.
I've been trying to go there for a long time, Iceland. And I, you know, I befriended this promoter who's now a friend, and we keep in touch. And I have like friends there that, you know, guys who run radio stations and
in New Zealand
run venues and stuff. Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, it's nice. I feel really like lucky that I kind of established like some friend base there in a certain way. Yeah. And I hope to go back, but it's far.
It's really far. Was the flight like 10 hours?
No,
it's like even longer. It's like a whole day.
Yeah, you know? You gotta sleep over and then get the next morning.
Yeah, South Korea for me was like 17.
So. 17 hours.
Wow.
That was a long flight.
I worked with a crew from New Zealand on a documentary about rugby, and they basically said New Zealand is like Australia, only everything doesn't want to kill you there.
It's interesting because I went to Australia. I mean, I loved Australia, and it blew my mind as well. You know, the nature aspect of it. And all the wildlife is really insane.
Yeah, they got nutty wildlife.
And, you know, it's weird because it's so far away, and it's...
Middle of the ocean.
It's so far away, and then, like, people's accents are, like, a little bit more American-sounding than even English people. So I was like, where am I? This is, like, this is a really beautiful, exotic land. And
did it sound like a Philly accent a little bit?
It was like a watered, I think, a watered less Cockney down. Than Philly. No, but when I got to New Zealand, it was totally, you know, I made the mistake of sort of grouping them into like the same sort of mindset, like, oh, I'm going to Australia and New Zealand, and, you know, but.
Totally different.
It's different. Yeah. There's a lot, the thing about New Zealand is like, there's like a little bit less wildlife, but it's like the forests are more dense.
Oh, yeah.
There's all these like ancient forests. It has this like shrouded mystery, you know. But yeah, it's really beautiful there. And I think the another place that I, one of my, has since been my favorite to visit was in 2019, before the world turned upside down. I went to Japan.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I got to hang there. Yeah. I played a concert and got Tokyo. To stay there for a bunch of days. Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool.
And I was there by myself and completely. I remember like getting there and, you know, hanging out with this one friend of mine the night I arrived, and it was a really fun hang. We were just sitting around playing guitars in this like really cool cafe. I couldn't even believe where I was. And then I slept and kind of slept in, and then I remember I stepped out of that my hotel, and I didn't come back for like 14 or 15 hours. I just walked. Lost.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it was totally insane, but I loved it.
Yeah, what a great place.
And I had a good concert there too. It was really interesting.
Yeah, people are really into music, into American music.
Yeah, it was weird because I was like a little bit nervous about it, and I wasn't sure what it was going to be like, and I got to the venue, and it was empty. And they were setting up chairs. I was playing solo acoustic, and it was a seated event. I was like, okay. And then, like, I was sort of waiting, and it was about 15 minutes. I was like, there's no one here yet? Like, what is going on? And so then I go, and I kind of get set up on stage, and then I'm, like, fussing around the back. And then I look back out, and it was like, packed. Whoa. Like everyone arrived at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And played the concert, and it was really great. And then all these people came up to say hi, and they gave me all these gifts, and it was really touching.
Yeah, yeah. They
and then everyone was gone. Like,
wow.
Like, within like 20 minutes, like the place was empty. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a ton of people from Japan come in here for the movie.
Oh, right.
They would all get off the flight because it was on Delta. So they would watch it, get off the plane, and everybody would come here. We'd have like 50 people from there a day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts. And they would bring us stuff too, actually. Yeah, some of them would see it in Japan and bring stuff over.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I got that so flag cool. up there by the, up on the top.
Way back.
You got the poster up above your head.
Yeah, I was looking at that earlier.
Isn't that cool?
That's so cool.
The guy from NJTV was here yesterday, and he read off what that says.
Oh, okay.
And just Carmine Street guitars, and then it talks about me setting up a guitar in the top words.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool. I think I watched that.
That's cool.
I watched the movie on that On Delta as well.
On Delta?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So many people came in after their flight when they came here and then they would come to the shop to check it out.
That's so cool.
Yeah. One of the best ways you could advertise for free.
Yeah. That's so great. Do you guys have like a top mega fan person like from a foreign country?
I think
is there a story?
Yeah, like, I think Japan is definitely by far. They just love this movie and they just love the characters, me and Cindy, and they just the whole idea of it. And they really liked a lot of the players. You know,
yeah,
they follow
sure.
a lot of the players that were in the movie too. So
this
cartoon they did. And they did
this guy named Moto, this artist named Moto, which I thought was funny because they make the Moto guitars.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Look at Rick's tongue hanging out. This illustration
that's
of me and Rick
good.
In the movie.
Isn't it great?
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh man.
So someone
the
made a postcard? That's incredible.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, they brought us like three of them, three or four of them. I said,
there was a lot posted on Instagram too that people would do like little sketches and drawings and stuff.
Yeah.
Like someone did like me and Rick and a couple other people in the shop, and then they had like my black cat Roland in the background with like
yeah,
they watch you. It's cool.
I couldn't believe it. Someone brought me a painting of myself. Someone brought me this small portrait. It was like really, it's like almost the size of a postcard. It was a painting of myself.
I was picturing like a big thing.
No, yeah. It was like, it was in a frame and everything. I was like,
whoa.
I was like, they're like, we brought you this. And I was like, what? I couldn't even like, I didn't even know what to say.
Yeah, that's such a gift.
Oh, that's
cool. And then this other person brought me like this little box with a card. And then I opened the box and there are these little chocolates. It was like packs of chocolates. But the chocolates were all my albums.
Oh, wow.
So the album covers were printed on on the wrapped chocolate. I was like, what? Like, what is this? Like,
you have to put those in the freezer.
I still have a few. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, and they're like crazy because they're, you know, they're just like these small little chocolates with like my album covers on them.
It's such gracious.
Thank you so much.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of work.
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was very touched. Hope to go back.
Yeah.
So cool. I want to go see all the Blade Runner stuff over there.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tours and stuff.
Yeah.
So cool.
So do you want to talk about your new album or do you want to...
Sure.
Or actually, you've been pretty prolific lately.
And then...
Because I know you did that
Bill Fay cover. I did, yeah.
Which is really good.
It's really good.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I couldn't believe that they asked me to do that. It's funny because I was hanging out in Greenpoint with some friends and I was sitting in the grass with a bunch of people, some people I kind of didn't know. And, you know, the discussion kind of turned into like music nerdery. And we started nerding out on Bill Fay and I was like, I love him, blah, 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 and asking him questions and sort of knew a little bit about him and his records. And then it turns out the guy who I was speaking to worked at the label who was involved with reissuing his demos. And I got an email from him, hey, man, do you remember me from the park? And I was like, yeah. He's like, would you be interested in doing this project? I was like, sure, of course, you know. And it was the time where things weren't really open and it was hard to kind of link with friends to record music, but my drummer friend Ryan Sawyer was working at this venue in Brooklyn, and he had the keys, so we would just play on the stage, and he was inviting friends.
Oh, cool!
Like during that time, so we did a lot of playing. And
which venue was it?
Union Pool.
I was just gonna say, I keep missing you at Union Pool.
Oh yeah,
I've been wanting to go out there, but I live in Flatbush, so it's like
right. I'm playing there every Tuesday night in February.
Awesome.
Well, three Tuesday nights.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
We should go.
Yeah, you guys should come. It's free.
Nice. We'll drag Rick over there if he'll cross the ocean.
It's overseas. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have your passport?
You don't have to take a ferry anymore, Rick.
He won't even go to
their bridges.
He won't even go to 14th Street for anything.
So you did an album, you did that, Bill Fay cover. That was like an EP kind of. There was like a couple.
The seven. Yeah, there were a couple people who were involved. I think there's some more singles coming.
And then there's this new, the Nakama. It's like remixes and re. It was like covers of your songs.
Yeah, it's like and Nakama is a Japanese word actually, leading into my obsession with Japan. Yeah. I studied Japanese when I was in high school. And for 1 year, unfortunately, my school closed and I went to a different school, but I've been obsessed with like Japanese culture and I've been wanting to go there forever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this EP that I just did, I named it Nakama, which is a Japanese word for companion. And basically the label came up with an idea of getting together with people that I admire and friends to kind of re-record songs that I had already done. And I went out to Chicago and recorded with this friend of mine named Joshua Abrams, who originally is from Philadelphia. Mm. And he's got a group called Natural Information Society.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Yeah, yeah, really great. So I went to his studio and recorded with him and his bandmate, Lisa, for a song. And I did one with Mdou Mokhtar's band, who were based here. My friend Mikey Colton played bass in my band and we're good friends. He lives in the East Village, so we were able to work on stuff. And then some other friends do remixes and stuff. So it ended up just being this kind of collaborative project. It just came out last week.
So cool.
Yeah. And a cool, clear direction.
Give us a thank you.
Closing out? I should just kind of start with the. I always do this, the last thing.
What? Just say thanks for coming by. It doesn't have to be like complicated.
You just cue me in for it. It's funny.
So hard.
I'll cue Rick in.
You start this time.
All right. What am I
saying? Just say thanks for coming by and talking to us.
Steve, thanks a whole lot for coming by. I really, really enjoyed it.
Of course.
Seeing you and,
my pleasure,
hearing you
always.
Play. It was really good.
Always
had a good time.
Here. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, we're super honored that you wanted to be part of this.
Yeah, of course.
I'm excited to come see you in Union Pool.
Cool.
Make it out there.
Song inside, inside. Take all what you've gathered. Watch it turn to fire. Say goodbye, the same old sky. Both directions fly. Just like morning rivers, more alive than the brightest light. Keeping down what wasn't there, save your life. Ah. Knowing that you're magic, hermit of a sphere, moving through the station with you, hear it loud and clear. Take all what you've gathered. Watch it turn to fire.
Say goodbye, same old sky, both directions fly. Just like a morning river, it's more alive than the brightest light. Keeping the walls on there, save your life. Ah. Just like a morning river, it's more alive than the brightest light. Keeping down what wasn't there, save your
Network.